Jesus, you are the bread of life, and we ask that you would give us this bread always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What is church all about? Really, when it comes down to it, why do we invest so much time, energy, and money into the church? And this is a question that a lot of people have asked themselves, and finding insufficient answers, describe themselves as being spiritual but not religious. And given the past 18 months when we had to close the physical church due to the pandemic, as we've reopened, it has become clear that having an answer to that question, what is the church, is necessary. The facts of the matter are that there are many people who used to attend church that have not yet been back. And I've got to think that that's at least partly either because they are not sure what the church is all about, or they just haven't missed it. Without coming to church on Sunday, they have not noticed a discernible change in the quality of their lives. They have not been zapped by a bolt of lightning. They've figured out that having one less thing on the to-do list is actually rather nice. And to be clear, the blame on this belongs with me, with church leadership over the past several generations who have focused on the social and the outreach aspects of the church instead of focusing on discipleship. Now, I have nothing at all against forging friendships at church or coming together in fellowship. Serving those in need is absolutely a part of our mission. But if church is only about having meaningful relationships, you can probably find better places to do that, like a brewery or a country club. And if you want to serve those in need and have some fellowship and learn some interesting things as well then Rotary or Kiwanis often do a better job than the church does at that sort of thing. The church has largely forgotten and abandoned its calling, which is rooted in discipleship. Jesus' parting words in Matthew are known as the Great Commission, in which he says that we are to go into all the world and make disciples through baptism. Now, disciple is a word that means student. So at the heart of the church is learning about and growing in God's love. And that is something you will not find at any other club or association. The love of God most fully seen in a beaten and crucified first century Jew. The passion of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and as a revelation of God's love for us is the beating heart of the church. Without that, we become a club without a purpose, an organization without a charter, a gathering without an identity. Now, prior to this current surge of the Delta variant, we were planning and hoping that this Sunday, today, would be the start of a return to normalcy. Kids are back at school or away to college, and vacation season is largely over. And so it was my thinking that as we were slowly returning to a pre-pandemic lifestyle, that a sermon series on the topic of what is the church would be helpful in getting us back to the holy habits of faith. But as this virus and the American population are wont to do, we're going to have another round. That being said, Delta variant or not, the question is still relevant. What is church? And so for the next several weeks, I'm going to be focusing on some fundamental questions about faith and the church, all aimed at inviting us to more deeply enter into this gift that God has given us in the church. You'll notice towards the end of your bulletin, there are questions for you to take home with you and to consider throughout this week. These are intended to give you ways to engage with these ideas and continue in this work of being a student, a disciple of Jesus. And so the question for today is the broadest. What is the church's purpose? Again, why are we here this morning? Certainly, there are more entertaining things for those of you watching the live stream that you could be streaming right now. What is it that we are seeking to do by using a Sunday morning for church? The average pledge at St. Luke's comes out to $55 a week per household. Now, of course, some give significantly more than that, and others give a good bit less than that, but still, what is it that we are hoping that that money makes possible? What is the purpose of church? Now, if you've ever heard me preach before, you can guess what's coming next. The Eucharist is the purpose of the church. Now, let me dive into what I mean when I say that. As I said in the sermon last week, the Eucharist has been called the source and the summit of the Christian life. The Eucharist is the church's source in that on the night before he died for us, Jesus gathered with his disciples, took a loaf of bread, said the prayer of blessing, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine, said the blessing over it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my blood for the renewal of the covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me." One theologian has asked, "Has ever a command been so obeyed? For 2,000 years, Christians have been gathering to immerse themselves in the story of the Passion, the story of our salvation, of God's love for us by participating in the Holy Eucharist. It is in this sense that we say that the Eucharist is the source of the church. We gather because our Lord has told us to gather and to do this thing in remembrance of him. The grace, mercy, and peace of God all flow from the source of the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is also our hope, our calling, our summit. When the church gathers in prayer to obey this commandment, to do this in remembrance of me, we are at the summit, the pinnacle of our faith. Scripture routinely speaks of the consummation of all things as a meal. Isaiah writes about a feast up on the holy mountain of God. Jesus speaks about a wedding feast, and Revelation gives us a vision of the heavenly banquet. Well, the Eucharist is the foretaste, the appetizer, if you will, of this feast. When we come together to break the bread, Jesus is with us. And as we share in this bread, we lay aside all of our pretenses of self-sufficiency and superiority. And so all of us, ordained and lay, male and female, black and white, young and old, conservative and liberal, rich and poor, executives and unemployed, we all come together and stretch out our needy hands to be fed from the riches of God's grace. Can you just imagine what our world would look like if it resembled more closely the Eucharist? If our interactions reflected the radical grace, humility, and inclusivity of this sacred meal? That prayer that we so often pray, that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, might just be a little bit closer to reality if the Eucharist were more central. Now, I hope I've articulated why the Eucharist is at the center of the Christian faith and life, but why is it also the purpose of the church? Certainly, things like serving the poor or bringing people to faith are more important than some religious ritual, right? But to think in those terms is to put the Eucharist in competition with those other aspects of the Christian life. Instead of seeing the Eucharist as their source, all of those other good things are rooted in the Eucharist. Turning to the passage from Ephesians this morning, we heard that we are to give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word for give thanks in Greek is Eucharisto. This is why sometimes we call the Eucharist the great thanksgiving. As Ephesians puts it, one of our highest callings is to give thanks. And this is exactly what the Eucharist helps us to do. Giving thanks is so important to having a healthy sense of purpose and identity. Studies have shown that grateful people are happier, healthier, and more pleasant people. Gratitude reminds us, as Martin Luther King put it, that we are all in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whether it's this pandemic or climate change, isn't that a truth that we've all come to realize? That for better and for worse, we really are in this together. And so gratitude is the antidote to the rampant individualism that is tearing apart our society. As we heard in the psalm this morning, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes before the Eucharist, we say, all things come of thee, O Lord. As the 4th century theologian Ambrosiaster said, we are told to give thanks to God for all his gifts, and so we submit ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ, who commands us to pursue humility. Giving thanks is about humility and the wisdom of knowing that everything we have is a gift from God, and hoarding the gifts of God for ourselves just makes no sense. By schooling us in thanksgiving, the Eucharist aligns us with God's grace. And the Eucharist makes us into a different kind of people. Some theologians have written about the idea that the Eucharist becomes not merely something we do or participate in, but it is something that we become. This is what led Saint Augustine to say of the Eucharist that we behold what we are and become what we receive. In this sacred meal, we become a Eucharistic people. In Ephesians, we heard the admonition, be careful then how you live, making the most of time. Well, the Eucharist helps us to do just this. It trains us how to live. As you know, Jesus gave the gift of the Eucharist to the church, and the apostles of Jesus were the first stewards of this gift. And that gift of apostolic ministry has been preserved and passed on through the priesthood. And while it is the function of a priest to preside at the Eucharistic celebration in a very real sense, all Christians are priests who preside over the Eucharistic living of their lives. In all things, we are to give thanks, to emulate the love of Christ, to feed people from the riches of God's grace. It's been said that the Eucharist is about one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to find bread. And this is something that we are all given to do. God's grace is something that is given to us all in the Eucharist. And as a part of the priesthood of all believers, the Eucharist gives us strength to share this bread with others. Ephesians also notes that we are to know what the will of God is. And that might sound like something that's above us. How can we, finite beings, know the will of the infinite God? Well, by grace, God shows us in the Eucharist. God wants to feed us with the bread and the cup that lead to eternal life. God could have given us a lot of other rituals to do on a Sunday morning, but we have been given the Eucharist, and this tells us the will of God. God wants us to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Later in John, Jesus will say that he came that we might have abundant life. Another metaphor that I often turn to is that the cross shows us the grain of the universe. Now, yes, God has given us freedom, and we can work against that grain if we so choose. We can live selfishly. We can live without hope. We can choose not to forgive others. But we know that when we work against the grain, we're going to have a much rougher go of things. We're going to run into a lot of splinters. We might even break our blade. Going with the grain means working with God, seeking harmony and alignment in communion with God. This is the purpose of the church, to remind us of and form us in the grace of God, which we most fully see at the table. No matter the mistakes that you have made, no matter the things that you have left undone, no matter who you are, no matter your doubts, out of great love for us and for our salvation, the Son of God took on flesh and came down from heaven to be the living bread that gives abundant life to the world. Sin and death have been overcome in the grace and love of God. And what God desires for you, for me, for each of us, is for us all to take and eat this bread that will nourish us in God's love. We don't have to be worthy of this gift because it is free. All we are to do is receive it and be thankful. In the coming weeks, we will consider some other foundational questions about our faith and the church, but they are all grounded in this truth, that God loves us, God feeds us, and God wants us to be Eucharistic people, people who know the story of our salvation, people who are nourished in grace, people who are empowered in the Spirit to serve the world in His name. May we always behold that we are the beloved children of God and become what we receive, the body of Christ.